head and look the other way. For when your heart is aching, my heart is aching too. Let me help you bear your burden. That's the least that I can do. I'll be standing in the gap for you. Just remember, someone somewhere is praying for you, calling out your name, praying for your strength. I'll be standing in the gap for you.
That's right. Hallelujah. We are standing in the gap. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. I am Monica R. Hooks of Worship Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, here just to be with you as we are every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Praise 107.9, the New Gospel Experience. We ask that you pray with us, that you can help us to slay together the things that seek to overwhelm us. And so let's get started right now. God, we thank you here just for being who you are, for how you are with us. You're so faithful, even when we are struggling within our own faith. You are so loving, even when we find ourselves not being lovable or lovely. We ask, God, that right now you just continue to allow us to be a blessing unto you as well as to your people, so that we, dear Lord, may learn more about you as well as ourselves and your people. We ask, God, that wherever we are, you keep us safe, alert, and alive, that you allow us and help us to be kind to one another, that truly we may be again about your kingdom that is yet to come, and that your kingdom that lives within each and every one of us right now. So in Jesus' name, Lord, please have your way. And we all say amen. Amen, amen. And thank you so much again for joining us here on Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. I am blessed to be your servant and thanking God for this opportunity. You can call in with your live prayer requests, whether it's for yourself, for your family, for colleagues, for what you see is going on in the world, your neighborhood, the United States, wherever it is. You can also go on the praise1079.com website, praise1079.com, and there you can go to the on-air information, on air host, and see the Stand in the Gap information, and you see all the ways to get in contact with us by going to praise1079.com. That is a way for you to connect with us live stream, but you can also see the other ways to connect with us, and that is simply to email sitgpastor@gmail.com, as well as the number that I'm going to give you again. Also, we have a number on there later. That's the Disciple Shape for discipleship counseling services. Very affordable. And this weekend, we still have additional slots available to the three we had last night. For those who want to try out to have that one individual counseling session to just give yourself a tune-up, as we all need at some point. I'm going to give you some more information about that and when to call in. You can also see the Facebook logo, and with that, if you click on it, you'll see the way that you can go right to the Stand in the Gap page, as well as send a messenger text there as well. So you email in, text in, get involved, and especially call in. I would love to hear your voice. I'm going to say this from my heart to your heart, because it comes from God's heart. I need more of us not to be ashamed or embarrassed or too shy. Stop letting Satan punk us and chump us when we come from the Most High God with the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Look, God's not ashamed of us or embarrassed of us when we do some of the worst things of the worst that we think. We are of a sinful nature. That being said, then why are we ashamed or embarrassed of ourselves when we have a God who not only has correction and chastisement, but has comfort and love available? So I want you to get yourself ready to call even now. Know that I answer the phone off air, so that then you decide whether you want to share on or off air. But I'm asking for some people who know that God is powerful, and you know you believe in prayer, whether your prayer request is for you or someone else. And if you don't want to share your name or anyone's name, that is fine. We can keep anonymity and not share that. But I want us to be empowered and to be used by God to empower one another to do what this broadcast is for. I am so grateful for those who call and don't share on air. That's absolutely fine too, because I know some of you are punking Satan, and just to pick up the phone was a huge step. I'm asking for some believers in Christ to do that and more by the power of God that's in us, okay? Let me read this poem for you. I'm just going to read two stanzas of it. It's by Lisa D. Scott, and you can pull this up on the internet. And this poem is called, which was published by her in 2015, and it's called the Comfort, it's called God Poem, actually, and it's called Created. It's under that subtitle, God Poem, and the title of it is Created by Lisa D. Scott. When God created you, he knew what he would see, someone who wasn't perfect, or in heaven you would be. He knew that you would stumble and sometimes even fall. He knew that you would suffer, and in Jesus Christ you call. And that's what we are doing this night as we come together Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to pray with one another, for one another, to an almighty God who blesses us, to take those live prayer requests, praise reports, to share them with each other. And we also get a chance when we have people looking for new homes or looking for transition. Some people are looking for different assistance in their lives. We share that information so that we can also give care to one another, and others do not only pray for you going on, but also come together as a community, as God called us to do, as a community, to help out with resources as we're supposed to. This is truly a God zone where we are here without judgment, but plenty of love, because God says so and you're worth it. Remember that poem, Created, by Lisa D. Scott, and you can read the entire thing, which is pretty beautiful and powerful. We're going to hear some music right now to get us started as we focus on this weekend's word from under our series Christ 101, which is also Bible 101. We are now doing Believer 101, knowing that God is blessing us with one another. Talking about, again, believing in God means to be living for God. Stay with us right here on Stand in the Gap. Remember, the number is 904-296-2251, 904-296-2251. For those who are not a believer of Jesus Christ right now, I hope you listen in and at any point give your life to Christ, but we're going to pray for you anyway. Let's listen to Kirk Whalum's gospel, Make Me a Believer, featuring Kevin Whalum and Layla Hathaway. This is Stand in the Gap with Pastor Monica on Praise 107.9.
So make me a believer. your love. You got me to believe, and now I feel so fine. Love blows my mind. So people, today's the place and the time.
It's the place and
the place and the time. Let me introduce you.
Loving and loving on love is a way.
Finish with that in just a moment, but we have a serious prayer request, and we want to go ahead and get started with that. Sister Eliana, I just need you to let me know that you're here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we're going to pray right now. Sister Eliana's husband, Brother Gaston, is in the hospital in Duval County. And that's in Jacksonville, Florida. They've been married 3 years now, and he's in the hospital. Did you say since this past Friday?
Yeah, he fell yesterday. And I couldn't reach him, so somebody had to go to the house and get him. And then they found him on the floor.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, and the doctors don't know why he's going through trembling and can't hold anything. And so he's going through kidney failure right now. He's waiting for a kidney donation?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so let's pray for him right now. I know that you have all this pain in your own heart. You also have just come through your own surgery for your eyes, right?
Yes.
How long ago did you get that?
October's going to make a year, but I still have stitches in my eyes.
Oh, Lord, God bless you. And so that's why you can't drive or anything. He kind of does everything, right?
Yes.
Okay, so can we pray with you right now, may we?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, God, thank you right now for our sister's love for you, her trust in you, even where she may feel her faith is challenged because she doesn't know what else to do, Lord. We just thank you right now for the opportunity that she has faith enough to reach out to others to help her to continue to be the champion that you've called her to be. For Brother Gaston, God, we ask that you continue to have mercy and grace, and that you also help in ways beyond what doctors and surgeons can do. You are the balm, not only in Gilead before, but right now. And so in the name of Jesus, we ask that you touch him where he is, that he feels no fear, God, that he knows you are very present. Touch her where she is right now as well. Please extend your hand to her and through each and every person that's praying on her behalf and all others who are going through similar situations. We ask, God, that you heal Sister Eliani as she continues with her own healing, her needs within her eyes, and that you help her to know that you haven't left her. You can't forsake her because you love her so much. And though these things in life happen, God, we know that you are still God. We ask that you give him what he needs, that you allow those to come and to help, that you extend yourself through each and every health care giver, nurses and doctors and specialists, even those who have tests, to see what's really going on. Help him, God, to feel your peace in the room, even now as we speak, and that peace of yours that surpasses understanding to be in the room with her as well. Help her, God, to know that you are there holding him and holding her, because your hands are big enough to do both. We ask God that you continue to bless their marriage. We thank you for the love they have for you and for each other. We ask to God that where Satan wants to jump in things and confuse them and to attack one's faith, that you dismiss him in the name of Jesus, because we know, God, you're going to find a way to get the glory out of this, because their faith is in you and nothing and no one else. God, you don't let us down, and we know that things don't happen always the way that we want them to, but we're still, along with our sister, believing in you, and we're believing you and your word. We believe that we can do all things because they are possible. We believe we can make it through this situation with Brother Gaston. We believe that a healing is on the way because you are still Jehovah Rapha. We believe, dear God, that you work directly with us, and you work through the hands of medicines and surgeons. We believe, God, that you work directly with us and that you have the power to work through treatments. We thank you that he was found as soon as he was found. We thank you that you were there to hold him and to keep him calm until more help could get there. We thank you, God, that he is still on this side of heaven with us as you give him yet another chance to have another day, another week, another month, another year, whatever you decide, God. Take the anxiety away right now, all the anxiety away from our sister Eliana, and allow her, dear God, to know that you are very present and speaking peace to this storm. Allow your healing power to work through her eyes and her entire being. Allow your healing power to work through his body and his entire being. And we ask, God, that however we may continue to be a blessing to her and to you, that you show us in Jesus' name. And we give you the glory for it now. And we both and we all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look, I know it's difficult and I know it's easier to say than to live, but you continue to be encouraged. We're going to continue to pray beyond tonight and as you request it without ceasing. You are not in this by yourself, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, God bless you and you have a good night.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We're going to continue to listen to this Make Me a Believer song, and we're going to continue to answer these phones and take your prayer requests, your praise reports. Hallelujah. We're going to continue with a praise report right now for whatever God is doing in Brother Gaston's life. We know that God is very, very present. So I need your help to keep this prayer and this praise going for Brother Gaston, for Sister Eliana, as well as for each and every one of you that are calling right now. Let's listen to this song, and after this song, I will be back to introduce this word to you, okay? That's Kirk Whalum, Make Me a Believer. That's his brother singing on there, Kevin Whalum, as well as Layla Beautiful Hathaway, who is, I hope I didn't say Layla Ali, because you all know I say that a lot, right? Layla Hathaway, the beautiful daughter of Donny Hathaway. And so you are listening to Stand in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight. The number to call in is 904-296-2251, 904-296-2251. There you can call in with your prayer request, your praise report, and as a community, we will get this thing called life done together. This weekend, we are talking about ride or die for Christ. Will you ride or die for Christ? Are you riding? Are you living, dying for Christ? Like, what? Well, we're all dying, but what I'm talking about is, are we riding for Christ, living in a way that Christ wants us to live? Are we dying daily, every day for Christ, dying to the self, the selfish ways, the sinful ways that we have, even within this condition, and doing our best to live more for Christ? Last night, Friday, we started talking about this relationship and religion, meaning that Christ wants us to have both, but Christ has always told us to have greater focus on our relationship and the health of that relationship with Christ, right? Remember? With Christ, as well as to have that relationship intact with ourselves, meaning not in a selfish way, but in a way where we are connected to the purpose Christ has given us, and also to be in connection with one another as far as our relationships with each other. So, you know, I gotta drop some scripture on you like it's hot. That's right. I said it just like that. So from Matthew chapter 4, in talking about, are you riding, will you ride or die for Christ? You know, Christ rode, died, and is risen for us. So the question is, are you living in a way that pleases Christ? And how can we continue to live in even better ways to please Christ even more? From Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them in verse 19, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. I just read from the NIV version, the New International Version. And it says in verse 20, at once they left their nets and followed him. So we're picking up from there. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Coupling that with, we're still just going to stay in that pericope, verse 20, come follow me, knowing that Christ gave us the Great Commission later on in Matthew chapter 28, how we are therefore to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So God says through Jesus, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, come, follow me, and I will make you. He's asking us to ride or die for me. Some of us use colloquialisms and connotations and cliches so much when we talk about life. You know, I'm too blessed to be stressed, knowing sometimes we are in a hot mess. We just need to tell the truth. Some of us say some of the same things, and I'm not against it, but again, God wants us to pay attention to what we are saying, what we are seeing, and what we are doing. Sometimes we do hear that term, ride or die. I'm a ride or die chick. I'm a ride or die dude. I was just watching a music show not too long ago, a few days ago actually, and saw this rapper up against this other rapper, and we ride together, we die together, talking about how their relationships are strong no matter what happens, that they have each other's back, as we say in military, to have your six. So we know that we have these terms, but Christ, the friend who is closer than any other friend, showed that in so many ways in his earthly existence, as well as continually in his presence within our lives. Somebody ought to say amen. When we talk about the different things and different people, I should say, that go up against each other, one of the shows was talking about beefs. This beef against this person, this beef against that person, and people separating in teams and saying, well, I ride or die for him, or I ride or die for her. Actors, producers, rappers actually threatening one another, cursing, fighting, and even shooting and killing each other over what? Some bling bling, a ching ching, and a few other things that don't mean a thing to the King of Kings. So why die over some seriously ridiculous things like sneakers or someone looking at us the wrong way? Why fight over someone threatening us or someone else saying something about a friend of ours? In the text, we see that Jesus rode for us no matter what happened, no matter who came against him. Jesus never forgot who he was, why he came, and the fact that he loves us so much that he decided to endure everything that he had to go through. How do I know that? Because first of all, Jesus knows and Jesus sees. Jesus sees us in what we are doing, but some of the complications that we have to do with the sheer fact that we are of a fallen state, that we are human, and for those who are Christians, not supposed to be Christians, I won't insult anyone nor expect anyone to insult me when we're having some less than human moments and say, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian, you're supposed to be a pastor, you're supposed to be a deacon, you're supposed to be a person who looks out for others like Christ, and that you are hypocritical. Well, the truth is, we are human, so to say we're hypocritical is redundant. We are in a fallen state of humanness. I'm not condoning our less than God-like behavior, but neither am I speaking against it out of judgment, because I'm not qualified. But what I have been qualified to do is to preach to you, to teach you, and to reach you with the word of God. And that's what we're going to do right now. In this text, we see that Jesus knew as he walked this Sea of Galilee, that we learn from this story that he knew that he was risking our lives, and when he told us how to be disciples as well. But Jesus has not asked us to do anything then or now that Jesus didn't do Jesus self. Jesus has a purpose for each and every one of us, and he shows that when we look at how he called Peter and his brother Andrew, just doing their usual thing, fishing, seemed like nothing spectacular, right? They did it day in, day out. It was their job, their vocation, their career, the same as you work yours, I work mine. Jesus is always watching. Now, the text tells us what he saw at this moment, but I'm sure Jesus had seen them even before we can see in the text that he called them. We know that the Bible says even before we were placed in the womb, Jesus knew us, and as God had knitted us in our mother's womb. He had plans for us. Jesus saw these fishers just like he sees me and you before we see him at times. So whatever conversation, I'm coming to get you right now, whatever conversation they were having, he knew about it. Whatever things they were saying, he knew about it. What is Jesus seeing and hearing when he passes by you? When he passes by me, are the conversations really blessed? Are they filled with talk that is relative to the gospel? Or are they filled with a bunch of balk that comes from gossip? When Jesus comes through the places where we are, or to the places where we may be, are we being in a way that would make Christ smile and feel like we are being a blessing to him? Or are we being in a way that would make Christ feel like frowning and want to have to deal with us once again for the umpteenth time? Either way, Jesus loves us, and for that we have to be grateful. When you're on the phone, you know Jesus sees you, right? When we are trying to sneak out of the house or creep, when we are trying to lie and steal and cheat, Jesus sees us. When our young people tell parents one thing and really do something else, he sees us when they walk out of the house dressed one way and then change when they get to school. Jesus sees us when, as adults, we try to push up on somebody, even though we know we've got somebody back at home. Jesus knows when we give more energy to the blessings that he gave us, but don't give the blessing back to Jesus. Jesus knows when we are naughty or nice, righteous or raunchy. I won't dare call another person ratchet, because that is ridiculous. But he sees us not like Santa Claus deciding whether we should get good gifts or bad gifts. Jesus sees us to give us still unconditionally the gifts of his love, the gift that he wants us to give love to other people. And all he requires of us is the same: to love him back, to be obedient, to praise and worship him for the awesome God that he is. He sees you, he sees your purpose, and he knows what he has planned for you. But again, sometimes even the very gifts that we get from Jesus can be a challenge. I'm going to tell you more about that as soon as we come back from this next song by Bruce Parham, Pastor Bruce Parham, called Hide Me. Because truly, as he says in the song, sometimes Jesus has to hide us from ourselves. Stay with us right here on Stand in the Gap with Pastor Monica. We are here until 1 a.m. I would love to hear your voice, your praise report, your praise request. 904-296-2251.
Lord, hide me in thy glory.
place of your holiness and grace. That's where I worship in thy presence. I bless your name and give you reverence. Hide me where the hands of mercy covers me from the enemy. Oh, hide from circumstance. Hide me when I want to take one more chance. I need you to hide me when my strength is weak. Hide me when my eyes want to take one more glance. Oh, hide me. Lord, I need you to hide me. Oh, hide me. Hide me from the enemy. Oh, hide me. Oh, my. I need you to hide me. Oh, my. Lord, I'm asking you to hide me. Oh, shall you? Somebody lift those hands and worship him in this place. Lord, hide me in thy glory, in the secret place of your holiness and grace. That's where I worship in thy presence. I'll bless your name and give you reverence. I need you to hide me where the hands of mercy, cover me from the enemy. I need you to hide me from circumstance. When I want to take one more chance, Lord, 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 hide me. When my strength is weak, I want you to hide me. When my eyes want to take one more glance, oh, hide me. Oh, my God. I need you to hide me. I'm asking you to hide me from the enemies. Oh, hide me. Oh, my. I need you to hide me. Oh, my. Me from myself. even if the enemy you hide is me.
Amen. That's Pastor Bruce Parham again, and that is Hide Me. God, we thank you for your word. We're going to continue to pray for Brother Gaston, Sister Eliana, as well as Brother Marvin's brother, Brother Ernest, who is still being healed by God, receiving some healing. Hallelujah. So that's a praise report also, as well as we are asking for more healing that is to come. And so we say hallelujah in advance. Amen. You are listening to Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. And then that's every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Here to take your prayer requests and your praise reports to present this message, as well as each and every song to minister to you as well. The number is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. So as we talk about this word from Matthew chapter 4, and knowing that Jesus had started to call these disciples, he called the two disciples first, the brothers, and then from there Simon, known as Peter, and then Andrew, Peter's brother. So just think about it, in what we deal with today, are we riding and dying for Christ? Are we riding, meaning having a great relationship with Christ and trying to move forward in that? And are we dying daily to self, as Christ told us to, as far as the things that we want to do based on the things that Jesus needs us to do? So there are the 12 disciples that he eventually called: Simon and Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, as well as James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, also known as Judas, and Simon the Zealot, also known as Simon the Canaanite, and then Judas of Iscariot. Now, even that right there, there's already some conflict because of the different names, but also the different characteristics as well. Now, I don't use the name Judas in a negative way, as we tend sometimes to want to give people a monopoly on sinfulness. Don't call people Judas when they have betrayed someone. We don't know what is between people and their last breath before they take that last breath, and what happened with them concerning Christ when we try to call people different names, or we try to call them out of their names, or we try to call, remember a lot of people used to say stuff about, oh, you tried to Ike Turner that situation. Ike Turner had some definitely different things going on in his life before he passed. That's not cool. We call people sometimes, what's her name? Jezebel. Jezebel, again, that's a beautiful name. We shouldn't label one person as a monopoly for sinfulness, because we misuse those labels sometimes too. It puts judgment coming from us, and none of us are qualified to judge, right? So we thank God for showing us through the disciples that there were 12 of them, originally the 12 of them, and with Jesus. So you know they had a whole bunch, that's a real lot with an R in there. They had a whole bunch of different characteristics, different things about them. And similarly to us, that's what we go through. So let me bring it closer home to you, that even with believers, as we are trying to be living for Christ, one's gift is also one's challenge. One's greatest gift, whatever your gift is, or gifts, whatever my gift is, or gifts, are also our greatest challenges. Our pros can also be potential cons, those things that are not good. If you have a really big heart for ministry, for people, because of God, that's one of your greatest gifts, right? So also, you have a really big challenge, and that's, you probably get hurt a lot too, because you have a big heart. Some people have the spirit of philanthropy, where they want to do their best to help others because God has blessed to them, because God knows he can bless through him or her. And so that is a huge blessing, to be able to bless others. And that's a beautiful gift, but that also means you have some people who don't know the difference between needy and greedy, or do know it and try to just do greedy and come to you with that dry begging all the time, right? How you doing? Oh, you know, I'm all right, but my phone just got cut off and whatever else. And again, it's not a judgment, it's a fact. Instead of just asking straight up, could you please help me out, because God has given you the ability to do so. But again, some people will lean towards greedy more than being in for real need. So we thank God that with our gifts, God shows us that yes, we also have some challenges. So as the body of Christ, I want to drop three things on you. One is that we have this thing called change. One of the biggest pros that Satan tries to use as a con is the fact that we have this thing called change. What's the growth? What's the positive thing about it? That we can change because God has made all of us able to adapt, to adopt whatever we need to concerning our purpose in God. So individually, when we embrace the fact that we change, we go through different rites of passage in life, different ages and stages of maturity. We can grow individually and sometimes as a whole. You're growing, I'm growing. We can grow together. We can grow as couples. We can grow as couples and families and those who are married with children as well. We can grow as those who have divorced and have learned how to grow into being better co-parents, even though they are divorced. What's the challenge to it then? Because growth is also lacking for some, or the growth that we have is at a different pace, right? So when we do that, it causes some conflict in the body of Christ, in the household of those who are Christian. And if you don't have Christ in your life, that's a whole nother story. So the growth that we have brings about change. But a lot of us, some of us don't want change, no matter how change could rearrange some things in our lives and make them better. Some of us use excuses, and some of us have legitimate concerns based on the pathology of our past, where we don't know what we don't know. And so sometimes we find ourselves in places struggling. But as a body of Christ, as people who believe in God, no matter what culture, no matter what age, no matter where we started, where we are, no matter how our economic status is or is not, no matter if you're in the good hood or the neighborhood, we can all still change because Christ has given us the ability to do so in the very DNA that flows through us, not just from mom and from father, but from our ultimate creator God, who is our primary parent. Amen. So when the lack of that comes, we can't use excuses. Even us who have challenges or who have been hit by the head and had some type of trauma, those of us who are developmentally challenged in ways, God bless our champions who go through that as well. We all have the ability still by Christ to grow. So no, ma'am, no, sir, we can't keep holding certain positions in churches and ministries saying we've never done it like that before. I mean, you can say it, but it doesn't make sense when we serve a God who is a God who can do beyond what we ask, think, or imagine, who is a God that doesn't change as far as how consistent God is, but also who is a God that will also do a new thing when we open ourselves up to do it. Somebody ought to say amen, because I know it's the truth. And then for those things that are lacking, those opportunities that we have to grow and we don't take them, we've got to answer to God for those things. And as we get together more as a body of Christ, we can learn more how to allow change to come into our lives in such a way, not to rock us or wreck us, but to help us to stand on the foundation of Jesus, the rock of all of our salvation. Amen. Change is an opportunity to be a better believer in God, to be living for God, because truly God is worthy. So stay with us right here on Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica. We're going to hear one other song. It's actually a mix between this song by Dorian. We're going to hear this one. It's called Everything Must Change. Hint, hint for us. We're going to hear this song so that we can truly be blessed by the Lord. You can still call in as well. The number is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. This is from the Black and White Sessions that you can find on any of your music apps, as well as on the internet, as well as the YouTube, as well as to order it on iTunes as well. Dorian Holly is singing Everything Must Change, And then we have the additional version by the one and only, may he rest in peace, Reverend James Cleveland. Stay with us right here on Praise 107.9. I don't know if I'm your girl, but I know I'm your servant, and I'm here for you.
Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. For that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. A wounded heart will heal, but never much too soon. Yes, everyone will change. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. For that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of.
There are not many things in this life that Christians can really be sure of, except this one thing: Jesus is my friend. He's coming back again. And I sure do love the Lord. The young become the old, and mystery is unfold. But that's the way of life. Nothing and no one can remain the same. No, there's got to be a change. There are not many things in life that you thank you, G, that you can really be sure of, except Christ lights up my life. Yes, he does. And Jesus paid the price. And I should do Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you can hear the records playing on that right in the back. Even though that's the clearest one I could find, I still appreciate the imperfection of it and being able to hear that. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight. Around midnight, we are going to do the Ha Ha Hallelujah Healing Through Laughter segment, where we get to hear some comedy clips together. You still have time to call in with your prayer request and praise report. That number is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. You can also email it in to sitgpastor@gmail.com, and you can go to praise1079.com, and there on the on-air host information, there are the other ways to get in contact with us too. So as we continue back with this word, we know that Jesus is the one who rode and who died and who is risen for us. And so Jesus similarly wants us to ride, to live for him, to die to ourselves daily, to be more like him, as well as knowing that when we do this, we can have a connection to him where we can live eternally beyond the end of our physical lives. So as we're looking at the scriptures now in Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus saw the first two, Simon, known as Peter, as well as Andrew, Peter's brother, and called them to be fishers because they were fishermen. Jesus is calling all of us who accept him to know how to live for him and to live in such a way that others will be interested or amazed or attracted to know more about the God we serve. So where you are now, change sometimes is a great thing, but change also is a challenge. Community also is a great thing, but also is a challenge to us riding and dying for Christ daily. What does that mean? That sometimes as we talk about community, here's praise, prayer, and proclamation, we know that some of us continue to have challenges within churches and ministries and where we work secular wise, whether we work for churches and ministries, whether we are working abroad locally. It is a universal thing because humans will be what humans are, imperfect. That's what we are, but we are imperfect people called by a perfect God who is daily perfecting us. So again, I've said this before, sisters, brothers, if you are those who struggle with being a perfectionist, I pray for you and on your behalf, seriously, because it is a guaranteed way of being continuously frustrated because we cannot execute perfection in imperfected selves, but we can go for excellence, the best that we can do. Christ is the only one who is perfect. Christ is the only one who, I tell you all the time, the only one who does not need a pedicure. So don't sit at the feet of me or any other pastor, preacher, minister, pope, bishop, because every now and then you're going to see that we need a pedicure too. Christ is the only one perfect. Christ is the only one who, if he had to live on a pedestal, could. So the only one who is high and lifted up is Christ. The rest of us are just human. And so please govern ourselves accordingly. I thank God for the opportunities to serve and to be a blessing for God to other people. But God did not call any of us to be worshiped. He did not call any of us to be served in ways where we're supposed to primarily serve others. He didn't call us to judge and to kick people out of church, to suspend people. He didn't call us to do these things. He didn't call us to have special goblins and goblets. He didn't call us to have a certain amount to preach or teach, and to each his own. But I'm called to tell the truth, and so I'm going to tell the truth. He didn't call us to live a certain way abundantly when people who give are living so less than the basic necessities. He just didn't call us to be this way. And just like we're talking about when people have beefs with each other, have issues with each other, have conflict with each other, the body of Christ sometimes are fighting ourselves, not to mention the different denominations of the bodies of Christ, even though Christ said there's only one. But when we have an issue with something within community, we tend to go out and do our own thing, set our own rules, our own polity, politics, and politics. And I know I'm telling the truth. When we have our group efforts in line with what Christ wants by following his word directly given by God as well as through his Bible, then we have a better chance of doing the great commission that Christ told us to live. Amen. We have a better chance of doing the great things that Christ said, because when we don't do those things, then other people also notice them. When we have group conflicts coming against each other, then that's when we don't shine a light on Christ in a way that will make others want to know about the God we serve. Let me bring this home even closer. When we have people who are meeting before different prayer services and liturgical settings and events that have everything to do with God, but we allow all the less than humanness to come in, where people are, have you ever heard someone praying at someone in a circle? That is something else. When you heard someone before you have to go minister or to go and share word, or before you have to go out and share communion with someone who's sick and shut in, and you have another minister that's become more sinister, that tries to cause disaster instead of allowing themselves to worship the same master that you do, and to cause you to now go out and have to pray yourself up after you just had the prayer together. I'm laughing with it because I've lived through it, and some of you have also. I remember the calls we got when we do people, church people hurt by church people, that we better learn how to laugh or you'll be crying all the time or swinging on people. And I'm not talking about laying on of hands. So we see that as community, we are called, as the Great Commission in Matthew 28 says, we are called to be disciples in such a way that we can be used by God to make disciples, in such a way that they can be used by God to make disciples. You see, it's all about salvation, that God knows you, God created you with a purpose, and myself, and whatever gift you have, yes, it can be a great asset and it can also be a great challenge. And either way, it's still always a part of God's salvation plan. Salvation, of course, is just a long word that means getting people to God through Christ, letting people know that God loves them and is there for them. And if they accept Christ, if they accept this love and accept the fact that they are accepted, then they too can have eternal life with Christ, starting at the very moment they accept him.